DW.
I told my full name. They don't care about even my last name. Okay, Kalpana, how old are you? Then I said, I'm 12. That was fine with them. Another guy, he came and he took me to the third floor. And when I ended up going in the third floor, the sound together I heard, I never heard that sound together. That was the biggest sound I ever heard. So they were yelling to the women and was hurry, hurry, hurry. So they ended up to take me next to a person who was sewing the clothes. So, okay, your job is to cut these loops and extra fabrics from this pant. And this is the first time I, you know, working was with a scissor, like a real scissor, that hurts my, you know, fingers. Like these three fingers were swelling after the workshop. So the first day when I started, it was like the 10 a.m. to, it was 10:30 p.m. shift. I was standing in my feet whole day. And then I went home and my mom asked that, how was the day? I know she was feeling sad, but I didn't do any complaint. I was said okay, but I didn't show that my fingers was hurt. So that was my first day.
And the next day you had to go back again. And this was a start of a new life for you, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean, so next day and then, you know, never stopping. So it was a new start of my life. So every day I would go to the factory in the same time. As I said, my friends would go to the school and they would ask me, where are you going?
And I would say, you weren't going to school anymore?
No, I never been to school after that. And when I switched my factory after 6 months, it was like more worse. It was 16 hours, very common. Even I was working over 400 hours in a month and making only $6. And later, my 10-year-old brother had to join with me because that wages was not enough for 7 person in the family.
And you said your mother was also sad. Was this hard for your parents that they had to take you out of school and send you to work?
It was so hard for my parents. I definitely, you know, could feel that. My dad was the primary earner in the family and he got ill and he couldn't work. He couldn't work after that. He was in bed for 14 years as a paralyzed. And my mom, she started working in the factory, but she had to quit after 6 months because she had an infant at home. My baby sister was only 2 months old, so she couldn't continue. So it was so hard for my parents. That could be like with any parents, but they hadn't had any choice.
Was there any particular eye-opening experience that you made in the factory that sort of made you want to change all this for yourself, and also because you're also helping to change the lot of others? Was there any sort of moment when you realized, okay, this has to stop and I'm going to do something about this now?
Yes. So I was working, since I started working 2.5 years, I was working in this sweatshop condition without knowing the law and rights. 1 month, it was during Eid festival, we supposed to get our overtime payment before that. And management come with the idea that they will pay us less for overtime. Even they would already paying less. And we said no, because I had a plan with that money. It is a festival and I need to buy clothes for, you know, new clothes for my brother and sister, whatever I can, whatever I could afford. And I said, no, you cannot do that. So do the other workers. So we were in a 2 units. We were approximate 1,500 workers was working in that factory. So it was 93 frontline striker who called a strike. And it was 92 men, young age men who can be like in their 20s or 25. And I was only a teenager who joined with them. It's not that I was brave. It's not that I know the law. It's because I had to have that money. The management started firing the strikers, the frontline strikers. So they started with 23 of them who got fired, but they were like smarter. They were looking for an organization where they can get help and sue the factory owner. So they ended up finding an organization called, today they call Solidarity Center. They're the international wing for AFL-CIO, which is American biggest union. So that organization was helping a group of female workers to form their independent union, helping workers with the legal aid support, and so do also helping workers to get to know the law. So they're running the level of training. So my co-workers got the training and came back to us and said, there are something new we did. We sued the factory owner. I was like, what is that? And they said, oh, there are something different, that there is a law, you should learn that. And I was like, what is that? And they said, we should come. So weeks so later, I've been with them. I went for that labor law training. And it was 4 hours long training, which changed my entire life.
Just 4 hours?
It is just 4 hours. And I consider it's a second bone for me. There I learned my workshop is supposed to be 8 hours. I shouldn't be forced for overtime. I should pay double for overtime. My supervisor shouldn't slap on me for a minor mistake or shouldn't kick me.
Did that happen a lot?
That happened. That used to happen a lot. And my working place should be safe. If there is a fire in the factory, they shouldn't put me locked in the production floor, which they did. So there should be emergency exit my factory. There should be hygiene toilet. There should be drinking water. And something beautiful I learned, that I can organize and I can bargain with my factory owners. I was like, whew. These factory owners whom I thought that they are so kind and they give me a job so I could feed my family, literally they were cheating over me. They are doing the waste theft for many years. So I started sharing this with my coworkers from following day and educating them that what I learned. And I took them to the level of training as well in the same place I've been to. And together, we started organizing the union. And in the age of 16, or close to 16, I became a union president in my shop floor.
I must admit, I have no idea what clothes I'm wearing today, where they were produced or what the conditions were under which they were produced. And I guess there are actually many in the West like me. Mm-hmm. Given your activism and also your history, how does this make you feel that there's so many people in the West buying products which perhaps contribute to suffering in your home country?
Okay, I will respond in a different way. Okay, it is not good that you buying clothes without knowing who making clothes for you. Okay. Second is, as an activist or a labor advocate, why I'm going around the world, it is to educate the consumers, to let them know we need these jobs, but we want these jobs with dignity. Next time you go to the store, please start ask more questions to the store managers that you want to buy these clothes, but in the same time, you want to know more about the person who make clothes for you. Make it personal, because somebody making it beautiful. So start ask that you want to know more that how much this worker has been paid. Do they have living wage? Do they have union rights at those workplace? Those workplace are safe for them? And is this gender-based violence free? Your voice will be matters. It will ring bell in the boss's offices. Buy less, pay more.
Final question. That little girl that went into the factory back then as a 12-year-old, what would you tell her today? Would you tell her, don't go in? Or would you say, go in because it was necessary that she went in because it enabled her to fight it from the outside later, that she had to make that experience? What would you tell her?
That little girl today is 41 years old. I would echo basically what my mom said. If there is injustice, someone can always stand up and speak out. If it was someone, why not me? If it is someone, why not you? So next time when you see injustice, just stand up and speak out. That will make difference. That will make change the world. DW.